Welcome to the podcast of Trinity Church London. You're listening to a message given on a Sunday morning. If you'd like to know more about us and the life of the church, please visit trinitychurchlondon.com.
Today I want to go through what I consider one of the most, I believe this is the most important theme in the whole scripture. And why I'm confident in affirming that? Because the whole scripture is about it. People are saved by it. People are transformed by it. And lives are changed by its power. And as Paul said in this first verses, by it you are saved. We are talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to read that again because It is really important for us to understand why Paul is reminding the church about it. I will remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. In the past few months, we have been studying about the letter of Corinthians and what Paul is dealing with this church. So there's a lot of problems happening on the ways they are behaving, on the matters of their spiritual life and some practices. So we see problems around divisions in the church and jealousy, strife. Paul confronts sexual immorality among some brothers. And then he deals with the controversy of eating food dedicated to idols. And then we've spoken about the problems with gifts. And last week, Charles reminded us of the selfishness problem. And how the church was insubmissive to one another when they were gathering to worship. So, to every problem that was mentioned in the first chapters of Corinthians, Paul was using the lens of the gospel to tackle it. So he was responding to these problems using what the gospel says about how they should behave as a new creature. But now, the problem is concerning their faith. Some people were affirming that there was no resurrection of the body. And by affirming there is no resurrection, they are denying the entire work of Christ at the cross. And by denying the work of the cross, they are denying the entire work of God. John Calvin, a Christian reformer, in his commentary of this chapter, he says, "To me, however, the following conjecture appears much more probable, that they were carried away by some delusion, which took away from them the hope of future resurrection." Brothers, when there are problems concerning the faith and anything that would invalidate the word of Christ on the cross, there is no other way, no other discussion to bring up except from the gospel itself. The gospel in full. And that's what Paul does. "I will remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preach it to you." Now let me ask you, church. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? What is the message of the gospel? And if I would have like the whole morning to ask each one of you to learn what you believe the gospel is, I would do that. But to make everybody's life easier, let's go what Paul says in verses 3 and 4. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance to scriptures." That is the whole gospel. The Son of God died for our sins, was buried and raised victorious on the third day. The good news of the Son of God coming to this world to save sinners from hell. That the Son of God, through His death and resurrection, was reconciled us with God. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. For whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have eternal life. It's through the cross of Christ that we have forgiveness of sins and we are reconciled with God. The whole gospel begins with God. And it's God saving sinners for His own glory. It is a message announcing the arrival of the kingdom of God, rescuing us from the kingdom of darkness and bringing us back to the kingdom of light. And church, this is crucial to understand this message entirely. The gospel is only effective if it's preached in full. Christ crucified and Christ resurrected. The gospel, the message, does not end with Christ on a cross. And if Christ did not resurrect it, then Paul will say that our faith will be in vain. We're preaching in vain. Because otherwise, we wouldn't be resurrected with Him. The gospel is Christ crucified and resurrected. And the gospel is a revelation of God's love, and it's described in the whole scripture. That's why Paul reminds the church of this is according to the scriptures. This is according to what God has been speaking to these people all the way along. And I have to summarize here, but looking at the scriptures back again, I could find over 50 references of the coming of the Messiah, His crucifixion, and His resurrection. We see, for instance, in Psalm 41, the Messiah will be betrayed. Even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who shared my bread, has turned against me. The Messiah will be falsely accused. Psalm 35, ruthless witness come forward. They question me of things I know nothing about. Isaiah 53, the Messiah will be silent before his accusers. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. The Messiah will be a sacrifice for sin, Isaiah 53 again. But He was pierced by our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that He brought, that brought us peace, was on Him, and by His wounds we were healed. It is all over the scriptures. It is all there. Even Jesus reminded Pharisees in John chapter 5. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. This is the gospel by which you are saved. Well, now that we know what the gospel is, I can finally start the sermon. Let's do this. Guys, let me ask you once more. Why do you think Paul is reminding the church of the gospel? Why do you think he is preaching to them again about God, about Jesus' crucifixion, that He died for our sins and He was resurrected? What do you think the main problem is here? I think the problem Paul is dealing goes deeper than what the church is doing and not doing as new Christians, as new followers of Christ. The church was not having issues with their wrongdoings or their theology or their spiritual gifts or practices. The main problem, the problem of many in the church, I'm not going to generalize them, But Paul is pointing out to sin. Thank you so much, dear. The problem of many was within their nature. It was what was inside of them that was actually corrupting the whole relation. And Paul is seeing here the outcome of their sin. The way they are behaving is an outcome of what's inside of them, what's in their hearts. In chapter 5, he cautions that there are individuals among you claiming to be brothers in Christ, yet they lead lives of wickedness and deceive the congregation. They were individuals who embraced the message of the gospel, and this is really important here because he's saying the gospel was preached to you. There are people embracing the message of the gospel, but they are living like devils. And the only way to deal with the nature of sin, to deal with what's inside of the heart, is with the message of the gospel. That's the reason why Paul is bringing the gospel back again. If there is an issue with the heart, if there is an issue with the belief, if there's an issue with the faith, the only solution is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would like to use the remaining time to go quickly over two outcomes of resulting from the message of the gospel. The first outcome is the spiritual awakening. In verse 8, he says, "Last of all, to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." A few years ago, I was reading one of the sermons of Paul Washer. He's a preacher from our time. Love this guy. And in his sermon, he points a very interesting question. He says that the most terrifying truth of the gospel is that God is good. And if you're like me, you'll be questioning, okay, what's the terrible thing about God being good? And he said, well, the problem of God being good is that we are not. And that struck me again. Well, I still don't get the point. Because if someone asks you, are you a good person? What would you respond to them? Well, you know what? I'm not a criminal. So, I never killed anyone. I don't do drugs. I don't steal. Sometimes I speed, but never hit someone. So we often recur to some moral standards that will put us in a good position. Say, well, we're not entirely bad, are we? Right? So we try to convince ourselves on the moral standard that, you know what, we are worthy. We're not compared to other people that bad. So Paul Washer, he points out again to the main problem. It always starts with the nature of God. He is just. He is holy. He cannot violate his attributes. He cannot do something that contradicts himself. He is entirely good. There is no moral standard for us to compare if not God himself. And when you put God as the standard of goodness and perfection and holiness, then you start to realize how wicked you are. And that's what Paul is doing here. If you look back to creation, God has created the entire universe, heavens and earth, men and women, animals, plants, everything he created in a good, perfect order way because he is righteous. He cannot create something evil. So he puts all his creation in a holy state, in a perfect state that will not violate his attributes. And More than that, when he creates us, he makes us as image of God. Men and women enjoy the presence of his creator, of their creator, all day long. Day and night, men and women were in the presence of God, shameless and pure and with no evil in their hearts. They were enjoying this presence. But at some point in our history, sin came into this world. And what happens is a disruption in this relationship with God. We no longer know our Creator. We no longer relate to God. We no longer seek Him. We despise all things that came from Him. And we start to seek our own interests. And this is the beginning of a wrecked relationship where men is not, the nature of man is not inclined to God anymore. Nature of man is now inclined to seek corruption, evil, and passions of this world. You know that for the total depravity of mankind. And here's what the scripture says about the sinful nature, Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day that you eat, you shall surely die. There is a spiritual death when sin comes to the world. Genesis 6, the Lord saw the weakness of man, saw the weakness of man was great in earth, and that every intention of their thoughts of his heart was entirely evil continually. Psalm 14, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of men to see if there are anyone who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. And in the words of Jesus himself, you are of your father the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. For he is a liar and the father of lies. I don't know what this causes you, but when I heard this message the first time, my heart was crushed. I felt kind of a deep pain for knowing the first time that God was good, because I understood that my nature was entirely against God. I hated God. I hated everything related to God, to His creation, to His holiness. I was a strong advocate for what I believed was the truth. I defended with all my hands and all my power everything I could before God, because I didn't believe in Him. And I thought everything He created was wrecked. This world, if God has created something, and if this is the world He created, He has failed. And I was advocating against Him. And I thought that my beliefs were my own, thinking that I had entire control of my thoughts and my doings, living independently of any holiness. But in fact, what I was doing is that I am from my father, the devil, and my will is to do what my father's desire. Everything I was doing was not independent. I wasn't doing it alone. I was just obeying the desires of my father, the devil. And that's what the gospel reveals. With sin, It comes all the consequences of it. All creation suffers with sin. Everything that you see here is wrecked, is corrupted by sin. Why do you think there's so many wars? It is because of sin. It is because of nature, the corrupt nature of man. Why do you think there's so much misunderstanding about sexuality, marriage, or any other topic you can think about? It is because of sin. It is because of corrupted nature. Isaiah 24 says, "The earth dries up and withers, the world languishes and withers. The heavens languish with the earth. The earth is defied by its people. They have disobeyed the laws, violated the statutes, and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth. Its people must bear their guilt." And Dr. Lloyd-Jones says, "Men by sinning have brought disorder into the world. Men brought in jealousy and envy and strife and hatred and bitterness and lust and passion. All these things came in when man fall. He wasn't made like that. They have become in because he is fall." This is what Paul testified of his conviction of sin. "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." When Paul receives the message of the gospel, there is a spiritual awakening. There is something that clicks in him, and he knows that he was a wicked person. He knows that he was unworthy to be called what he was, because he persecuted the church of God. He did everything he could to destroy God's testimony, to destroy God's work in Christ Jesus. And what about you? Do you recognize that you are corrupted by sin? Do you acknowledge that you do selfish things all the time? Just to glorify your own name? Just to prove to yourself that you are better than God, that you are far righteous than Him, that you are trying to shape everything to fit in your own beliefs, that you distort the message of the gospel to fulfill what's in your heart? Do you recognize that? The message of the gospel is for us to repent, to acknowledge that we are fallen people, that we love this world more than anything, that we do everything just to fulfill the desires of our hearts. And God gives us the opportunity to confess our sins and to put our trust in Him. And He, in His glory and His grace, will correct this path and bring us back to a relationship with Him. Lastly, I would like to close this message with the second outcome of the gospel. First, there is a spiritual awakening. Second, He makes us a new creature. In verse 10, He says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." Here's, I have to quote Dr. Lloyd-Jones again, because he speaks this in such a marvelous way. I couldn't think of that myself. "The grace of God in Christ and through Christ is reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto us. Even though all the suffering and all the reaping and the consequences of our own rebellion and sin against God, and honestly deserving nothing but trouble forever, God, in His infinitive, everlasting love, in spite of what we are and what we deserve, He has made a way whereby He can forgive us and reconcile us unto Himself and restore us to His favor. Give us a new start. Give us a new life. Give us a new outcome. Give us a new power. Give us a new understanding. Give us something of His own divine eternal character, the promise of spending eternity everlasting in His holy and His glorious presence. Do you know what this work of God means to us? That we once were wrecked, and now we are reconciled with God. Now we start to realize the spiritual things. We become new creatures because we were reached by the gospel, we repent and believe in it, and something unspeakable happened here. When Paul says, was verse 8, "Less of all as to one untimely born." I had to research like for quite a few hours what this word represented. Like out of the blue, with no explanation, how come someone on the way to Damascus to destroy the church of Christ is visited by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus, and awakens and realizes that he is a wrecked person. And now he understands the spiritual things that represent the message of the gospel. In an instant, crushes our sins and the cross and makes us believers, makes us awake for the reality that is coming from heaven. Now we understand the kingdom of God. Now we understand the spiritual things. Now we understand the character of God, because we are given this character. He is building in us His own character. He is building in us a character of obedience, a character of holiness, sanctification. The gospel starts to do a work that will be completed in the last day when we all be before God. And there is only one thing that God will evaluate and God will judge in the last day, is that if we look like Jesus Christ. He is not gonna, He will put your works on the list. But if you have just conformed yourself with the works that you've done, He will judge you for condemnation. But if you have put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, He will only see Christ's work. And that's the weight. And we'll be judged for our reward, and we'll live with Him in the whole eternity. Christ and human nature are now so linked together that what Christ did, He did as a representative of all His people. That's what Spurgeon says. And with Christ resurrected, God regenerates our heart. That's why the gospel doesn't end with Christ on the cross. Because the cross represents our sins being forgiven. But what happens when Christ resurrects? Now we are raised as a new creature with Him. There is a born again creature. There is a born again nature molded by shaped by the power of Christ. And for so long, it took me really long to understand what is a new what is a new creature? What is a born again creature? How do they look like? What do they do? What's the evidence that we have been regenerated? Ask yourself this question. What makes you believe you are a new creature? What are the evidences you have in your life that the Spirit of God has worked in you, has made you a new creature? I'm going to give you a little help on the Sermon of the Mount. This is what Jesus describes as who is a born of the Spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. Church, do you understand this? That is not about what you do. It is not about how many times you come to church or how many people you help, what good or bad you do. It's about who you are. It's about your nature being transformed. It's not about what you are building up over the bad things you think you're doing that will be judged in the last day. It's about your nature being transformed. What makes you a new creature? Have you believed in the gospel? Can you see the evidence of a new creature being formed in you? Do you have any of the attributes that Jesus described here in the Sermon on the Mount? Do you now love God and hate the worldly things? Do you rejoice in the Lord? Do you find peace in Him? Are you thrilled by the salvation plan? If this is not causing anything in you, you didn't understand the message. You don't know what's going on. And you don't know for sure how dangerous the ground you are standing is. You have no idea. And I would rather spend my whole afternoon here in this place preaching this message again until you understand. Until you repent and convert from your ways and turn your life to Christ. Do not leave this place the same way you came in. Receive the gospel. Believe in the message of the cross. Receive a new heart and have your life changed forever. By this gospel, you are saved.